across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
As we try to get through the opening days of Daylight Savings Time here on this Monday, March 11th, 7:06, nice to have you along live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, where here on Lake Wissota, sunrise is now at 7:24, but the sun is now setting after 7 p.m., and that is just delightful, especially since we are expecting a delightfully warm couple of days here. We're going to talk about that with Greg Bach, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller from Eau Claire, and the return of meteorologist Brittany Merlot after some time off. Brittany, welcome back.
I'm back. Thank you guys so much.
Let me try this again. I honestly thought I had the built up better. Okay, peanut gallery. The return of Brittany Merlot after a week off. Brittany.
Awesome.
The problem is we do dress rehearsal at 4 a.m. and it's tough to get everybody to show up for that. Brittany, how was your break?
Oh, it was fantastic. I see we got nice and warm. I, of course, was out there in the rain as that rolled through, and now we're going through it all once again. Put it on repeat. Every 3 weeks, we just keep getting the same stuff. So, yes, today it's going to get very windy. We are going to double our temperatures from what you're feeling right now, pretty much double it, tack on a few more degrees. We're climbing into the upper 50s to low 60s for a majority of the state. Some of us may even tap the mid to upper 60s today, shattering records. So records could be broken both today and tomorrow because we get even a touch warmer tomorrow as well. So soaring into those 60s to near 70 by tomorrow, but the winds are going to be gusty out of the south up to about 35 miles per hour. So that means the good chunk of the state, especially the northern half, is in a high fire danger risk once again. So avoid burning, be careful out there, but otherwise beautiful sunshine, warmth, spring-like, gotta love it, especially with the long sunshine throughout the day today too.
Can't hear you, Pat.
Pat's muted.
Oh, classic. Sorry. Well, but I assume there are red flag warnings or advisories then that people should not be burning today?
Correct. Yes, there are. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So those temperatures right now include 32 in Chippewa Falls, 25 in Hayward, Park Falls at 32, Wausau 28, Green Bay 27, La Crosse is at 40 already, Wisconsin Rapids 30, Oshkosh 30, Madison 34, Waukesha 30. And are you at the Bull Falls radio studio there in Wausau, Brittany?
No, I am not, but I am in the Wausau area right now. Okay. I look like I'm in darkness.
I was going to blame Chad Holmes if he maybe stole some of your lighting or something over there. It's a little darker this morning.
I'm blaming daylight savings time right now.
No, just blame Chad Holmes.
Fine.
Yeah, blame Chad. It's just fine. Let's see. And Rob tells us, good morning from Tigerton, clear in 26. He says, I'm looking forward to June 8th. My grandpa will be inducted into the Shawano Speedway Hall of Fame. My grandpa helped bring stock car racing to Shawano in the early 60s, which became one of the most popular dirt tracks around. In mid-April, the races will start at Shawano Speedway. And as a dirt track fan myself, congratulations, Rob. We appreciate that very much. It's almost racing season out there, kids. It's going to be
fun.
Yes,
it is. Shawano Speedway is fun, too. I actually got to go and race some cars on that track before. So
wait, you did?
Yes, I love dirt track racing. I've also raced school buses, too, up in North Dakota.
I'm sorry, you don't just get to drop. Neat. What is that?
What is happening here?
Yeah, they do some wild stuff up there, but super fun. But same thing. You take the school bus around the dirt track and go as fast as you can, ram into them, whatever you want.
And then you can jump right into Selena's. Yeah. Right into Selena's story about the school. Or no, that wasn't a school bus demolition derby. That was a tractor demolition derby. But a school bus demolition derby. Yeah, that would be awfully good too. All right, Brittany. Well, thank you. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. You guys have a good Monday.
All right. You as well.
Thanks.
We're going to talk to Selena Heller in a couple of minutes here about stories that she is working on for Up North News Radio. Dr. Lyerly joins us for a few minutes more here after a busy weekend. But We wanted to talk briefly again about the State of the Union speech, some of the reaction to it. Obviously, Saturday Night Live and others have had a lot of fun with the response from Katie Britt, the senator from Alabama. But she was obviously talking about some serious topics, being factually challenged on some of them. And again, putting out the claim that Republicans are supportive of IVF, even though their actions indicate otherwise, Kristen.
Well, this is what they do, is they say one thing and they connect it to another thing when it's actually, you can't fill in the steps in between those two things. You can't be supportive of IVF and be a supporter of the life begins at conception personhood stuff that's happening in Alabama. It doesn't work that way. They are mutually exclusive. So you just can't. And pay attention to the facts. As with everything, you have to understand more than just the headline.
Yes. So what other thoughts did you have State of the Union wise then between that and the reaction? Because essentially it was the kickoff to the general election campaign.
It was. I was so proud of President Biden. I felt like he really brought energy. I felt like he reacted really well, even when he stumbled a little bit with his words, which he's been doing his entire career. I mean, he has a speech impediment. When he accidentally said Moscow, he kind of backtracked and made a joke out of it. He had some fun with the audience. So I appreciated it. And I thought his delivery was spot on and his message was fantastic. Katie Britt, on the other hand, I was driving while I was listening. Uh-oh. And man, I couldn't see. I didn't get the kitchen. I didn't get all the visuals, but all the cross, I could hear was her. Yes, like her breathy voice and what she was saying was so ridiculous. And you knew that it didn't, a lot of it just plain didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it was like, does anybody vet these things, you know, before they go out? And especially, you know, the story that she told about sex trafficking, which was wrong on just about every level, you know, other than
horrifying.
That, there was a story. But to tell it and say, not tell people it was from 20 years ago during the George W. Bush administration and that the story happened in Mexico, not in the U.S., it just did not do her party any favors. And yet this is a party led by Donald Trump, who, by the way, yesterday, I don't even want to say in a new low because there is no bottom for this guy, was making fun of President Biden's stutter and speech impediment, the thing that he overcame as a second grader. And has had to work hard to overcome his whole life. Trump's now going on and mocking that, which, again, it's only one man's opinion that it makes him out to be a total piece of garbage. But that's, you know, other people can support him, even though he continues to do those kinds of things. This is what we're going to have from now till November. Kristen is reminding people of where the facts are versus where the Saturday Night Live generated comedy is coming from, I guess, is maybe the right way to put it.
It was almost, as I was listening to it, actually, when I saw the visual, I thought, well, this is a gift to Saturday Night Live for their cold open. There's no way they're not going with this. And Scarlett Johansson absolutely nailed it. She was brilliant.
I think they cast it incorrectly.
Who would you put there?
A heartbeat Cecily Strong. Bring her back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She would have been great to come back for that. I loved some of the memes that were going around Friday, just showing like a room full of people fighting. And it was like, here's all the women on Saturday Night Live fighting over who gets to be Katie Britt. And yet you could see Colin Jost going, I've got somebody, you know, calls up his wife, Scarlett Johansson, to come do it. So nice to have that connection. Let me say as well about former President Trump's appearance in Georgia. Several outlets noted that over the weekend. But every newsroom that mentioned Donald Trump going to Georgia that didn't include a note about Trump's post-election phone call attempt to pressure Georgia officials to make up election results, if you didn't include that, you covered Trump's Georgia appearance wrong. There's no reason not to mention that every single time that it's up. And one final note, Kristen, before we let you go, and this was from our friend Scott Ross, who tweeted on the matter of Derek Van Orden, who, by the way, again, classlessly, A, interrupted the president during the State of the Union, and B, is now fundraising off of it. You know, real honorable veteran right there, you know, fundraising off of interrupting the commander-in-chief during the State of the Union. Nice work out of you. But going back to the time that he verbally attacked teens in the Capitol Rotunda, Scott Ross wants to know why the Journal Sentinel and others haven't demanded or sued Congressman Brian Stile to get a hold of that video that Stile has been sitting on of Van Orden's episode in the Capitol. And how is this not news? And I just wanted to bring that out and give Scott a big thumbs up that I really don't know why we're not hearing more about that. I'm sure the tables would be turned if it was a Democrat that was, you know, holding that tape and keeping it out of the public.
Mother Jones.
It just seems like,
oh, go on.
That behavior is just encouraged. And they use, like you said, they use it for fundraising, and it is not at all, they're not called on it. Even watching Marjorie Taylor Greene, there sat Gwen Moore, our congressperson, who is just brilliant, sitting next to Marjorie Taylor Greene as she's shouting at the president. And, you know, Representative Moore was just so composed, and I was so proud of her. And then the contrast.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say Mother Jones released an article earlier this week. Late last week about Derek Van Orden, and it just said the congressman who yelled lies during the State of the Union has a history of crazy outbursts, and then underneath it says usually directed at teens,
because he does. That's, yeah. Again, he's all about punching down. Kristen, Women Win Wisconsin is back on Thursday morning.
It is, and I forgot who our guest is. Do you remember?
I believe it's Ann Rowe.
Ann Rowe, our old friend Ann Rowe, former congressional candidate from southeastern Wisconsin. She's in the Janesville area. She's running for assembly, and I'm so excited for her, even though I couldn't remember who she was because I've been up all night. Forgive me.
You get a pass on this.
But Ann is wonderful. She's an amazing local leader. We're going to be really excited to have her in the assembly.
We are very glad to get whatever time we can with you after a shift like that. So get some rest after. I'm sure you've got a busy clinic day ahead, but get some rest after that, and we'll see you on Thursday morning.
Can't wait.
All right. 7:18, let's check some sports real quick here, and then we'll talk more with Selena Heller about stories that she's working on for Up North News Radio. I want to start with the Badger women's hockey team. They're the defending national champions, and they beat Ohio State over the weekend. They've beat Ohio State, the number one team in the nation, twice in the past 2 weeks. So you'd think they'd be the number one seed for the NCAA tournament coming up here? Nope. Ohio State still gets the number one seed. The Badgers are a two seed. They get a first round bye, and then next Saturday afternoon, they will play for a chance to advance to the Frozen Four for the women. The River Falls women are moving on in the NCAA national tournament to the Final Four, and the Badger men's hockey team will find out where they are in the NCAA tournament 2 weeks from now. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit. Happy birthday to Lisa Lowe, who turns 56 years old today. The Milwaukee Bucks are on a four-game California road trip, and they lost the first two games. They did win yesterday over the LA Clippers, 124-117. They will wrap up that trip tomorrow night with a game in Sacramento. The Badger men's basketball team was beat by Purdue yesterday, 78-70. The Big Ten tournament for the men begins Wednesday at the Target Center in the Twin Cities. Up North News reporter Selena Heller is going to be back with us now to talk a bit about some of the stories that she is working on for us. And Selena, we were talking about the performer from Chippewa Falls who's on American Idol. Remind me of his name again.
CJ Rizlov.
Okay. Do we know when we see him next? Because I don't follow American Idol, so I don't know if they jump right into these Hollywood shows next. Is that the deal?
I don't know how many more weeks they go into Hollywood. I don't know. So yes, he's going to Hollywood, and whenever that takes place, I don't know.
Okay, no, that's all right. So we'll continue following that because we've got a few other things to follow here in terms of I think Top Chef, which was filmed in Wisconsin. I think that's now the new season is airing. So there's just so many Wisconsin connections that we have to follow as well. But you are also working on a story about a civil rights pilgrimage, and it's being hosted by students from UW-Eau Claire. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, so they do this twice a year at UW-Eau Claire, and even other people from the public are invited. It's mostly students that go, but they do this twice a year in January and in March, and they visit all of the places that have civil rights movement connections, and it's a just a well-thought-out trip, and a lot of these students come back with, like, it's a life-changing experience. So I talked to some students. Mm-hmm. And so they told me about, you know, it's changed their lives. They've gone on it several times and they're going on it again. It's this Friday is actually this coming up trip. And so Chimey Yangdron is a senior and she kind of tells us her thoughts about going on the pilgrimage.
I am an immigrant and I came here when I was just about to turn 16. So coming to America, I had no idea about the American history. I just remember seeing a picture of MLK and I knew that he had something to do with the civil rights movement. On this trip, I was the last person that signed up for this trip and I went and it completely changed my knowledge of American history. It completely changed the narratives that I've gotten, everything that I've learned in my world history class in high school.
So she's going on again, and as is Kerrigan Hollenbeck, and she is from Eau Claire, and she's been on the trip before, and she was, I mean, I talked to a bunch of students, and they just gave me a lot of insights how just they go to these places, and they're just so moving, and I mean, that's why they want to go so many times. So here's Kerrigan.
Sort of the default. And so when we learn about different events, we learn it through sort of a traditional white middle class narrative and perspective. And when we're looking at different historical events, especially when we're talking about like civil and human rights, learning from people and places and sources that decenter that narrative that we've already been learning and add in different voices to the mix to give a more whole and comprehensive story of what really happened. It enriches what we already know and it builds this bigger, more truthful, more diverse, more complete story of what happened.
Wow.
So it's described as what? An immersive experience. Yes,
they go to places like Selma and Atlanta and Birmingham. They meet with people who are kind of very knowledgeable in the things that happen, and they get to just see all of these places and hear about what happened.
Okay, so they're seeing, not doing in the sense that, I mean, these aren't like the, you know, freedom ride. They're not like, you know, getting people registered to vote or doing anything like this. It is much more of a learn the history by going to where the history was made.
Yes.
But with the thought that, you know, you're seeing this, but it may lead to actions in the future, that they may be more involved, more civically engaged than they would have been had they not taken this experience.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Chimmy, the first student who talked, she said, you know, I learned you can be an advocate in so many ways. You can just be a piece of the puzzle. That's where they learned, just be a piece of the puzzle and be able to do things. But you can be an advocate just sitting somewhere at a restaurant. You can talk to people. You can really make yourself known as an advocate. You can just do so many things in so many different ways. And she said that's one of the things that she learned. Just being an advocate comes in a lot of different forms.
And they're still, this is the group that's leaving at the end of this week?
Yes, they leave Friday.
They've got, I was just looking at the list here in front of me, to Atlanta, Birmingham, Tuskegee, Selma, Tuscaloosa, Jackson, Mississippi, Nashville, and Memphis, Tennessee. And in almost every one of those places, you know, I can name something from the, you know, the civil rights era of something very terrible or very noteworthy that happened. So, I mean, clearly this was picked very carefully to help people fully understand issues about social justice and human rights.
Right. They come across different places every year, and maybe they change their travels a little bit to incorporate someplace new, but otherwise they have kind of the same ones that they know are so moving to students and so important for students to learn and get this message and just mean a lot. They talked about one person in particular. She was the one that said, you know, you're a piece of the puzzle. And so they all talked about her having this message that really resonated with them and that they're going to carry on for the rest of their life. So they do change the course. Some of things are the same, but they can alter it, but it's still meaningful even if students go on this again and again.
I feel so inadequate, Greg, compared to when, you know, in our day, the trips that you took were, let's go to Daytona. It's spring break, everybody. Yeah.
This is their spring break.
Yeah. I just, the way those both of those students are just so, you know, there's not just talking about their experience, the way they say it, the words are just like, they sound like adults speaking mm-hmm. about these experiences. And mm-hmm. it makes me so hopeful for the future of young people learning all of the history and getting and incorporating their everyday life.
Right. And the thing was, like, these students weren't planned to talk with me. I just happened to run into this group of students that was raising money for their trip. And I was like, I got to thinking, I'm like, you know, I've always wanted to do a story with this this pilgrimage. And so I kept going back to them. I'm like, will you talk to me right now? So they weren't even prepared. They weren't even, this was just off the fly. And they came up with all of these moving words at that time.
That's great. And by the way, speaking of the fundraising, again, there is a website at the UW-Eau Claire. There's a page on their website that notes, without the continued support from the UW-Eau Claire Foundation and generous community donations, the UW-Eau Claire Civil Rights Pilgrimage would not be possible for many students and area teachers. Please consider donating, and gives you an opportunity to do that. So just simply search for Civil Rights Pilgrimage through UW-Eau Claire, and you'll get some of the details on there. So Selena Heller giving us some more of the stories that she's working on for Up North News. Look for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter and see your stories in the newsletter. Find them on social media as well. Selena, thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you have a great start to the week here. And when we come back, our friends from Motherhood for Good will come along and introduce us to a mom who's also running for office in her community. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. A reminder in the Up North News Daily Newsletter today, Christina Laurie writes about how a proper birthday party is an annual rite of passage for a lot of elementary school age kids. Unfortunately, throwing one isn't possible for a lot of families, since about 15% of Wisconsin kids live below the poverty line. So she tells us about Box of Balloons, a group that works with kids in 25 states, including Wisconsin, to work with social workers to identify kids under 12 who otherwise wouldn't have a birthday party and get them the gear they need to have one, and how you can help out. So get that from our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. It's Motherhood Monday at 7:35. So our friends Kate and Danielle are here from Motherhood for Good, and they have brought along a guest today to again talk about the way that busy moms they're overachievers as it is, because we've got a guest today who's a mom and a nurse practitioner, and runs a bakery. Hello, Daylight Savings Time. Oh, and by the way, is running for office. So we're going to get to know Brittany Wolfowl in just a moment. But first, a quick good morning to Danielle and to Kate. Ladies, how are you?
Good. Good morning.
Listen to them. Like, it's Daylight Savings Time.
I know.
Good morning. Great.
I'm on the struggle bus, but I'm pulling it together.
Yeah,
that's right. But then we all look at Brittany's box and realize that, you know, she's running a bakery. So she's got to get up and get things ready. So Kate, Danielle, one of you want to take over introducing Brittany for us?
Yeah, I think, Pat, when I emailed you about having Brittany on, I was like, she is the epitome of motherhood for good. She's got all of these things going on, all of these jobs, owns a small business, has two small children, is a nurse practitioner, and is running for office. We met Brittany a while ago. She came to one of our events with Senator Baldwin and was talking about how she wanted to make some change in her community. And possibly run for local office. And that is exactly what she's doing now. And I was lucky enough to go to Brittany's campaign kickoff a couple weeks ago and have just been continued to be so impressed by her. So Brittany, thank you for joining us this morning. Would love to have you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background and what drew you to running for office and what that office is.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. So I'm Brittany. Like you've all said, I'm a nurse practitioner. I still work full-time as an NP, but I do a lot of telehealth. So that kind of allows me to also run my bakery. My sister and mom and I own a bakery in Menominee Falls called Batter and Mac. So we're busy with that, and we've really grown, which is kind of what prompted me to want to run for village president in Menominee Falls. I get to, like, and this sounds really cheesy, but I get to live this, like, crazy dream where I bake cakes and teach people how to bake cakes or decorate cakes for a living because of the village. And not just because the residents here come into my shop and buy hot ham and rolls every Sunday, which they do, which is great. But also because the village itself made it really easy for me as a small business owner to start my business from, like, because I didn't know what I was doing, right? Like, I'm an NP. I've never opened a bakery. I've never worked in a commercial kitchen. So when we decided to take our business from being, you know, a home bakery to this kind of larger scale endeavor, I didn't know what I was doing. And so I just, like, called the village and was like, hey, is there someone I can just, like, ask some questions to? I don't know what I'm doing. And they were like, first of all, they answered the phone, which had not been my experience when I was, you know, I was in a commercial kitchen in Milwaukee and it was harder to get in touch with people. But I called the village and they said, oh yeah, I'll transfer you. Jared's sitting at his desk. And they helped. It was so clear to me that the village itself, like the government of the village, really wanted small businesses to come there to succeed, to help them succeed. So I feel a sense of, I guess, responsibility to pay that back and to help, you know, in other ways to make my community a better place.
And yet, you know, that same village, you've said, you've talked about the people who kind of work in the administration of government, but the people who are in elected office can sometimes either make decisions or say things or do things that may not reflect as well upon the village. Is that what prompted your decision to run for village president in Menominee Falls?
Yeah. So we've got a board that's 7 at-large seats. And right now they're all backed by a group called WIS Red. So we have a super hyper-partisan far-right village board. And I think anytime you have a governing body where everyone's playing on the same team, you're going to have a real lack of transparency and a lack of accountability. So, and that leads to nepotism and irresponsibility. And we've also seen now this, like, rhetoric that's pretty terrible. Like, you know, people in leadership, you know, being condescending and gaslighting and all of that on social media, just the way they interact with their residents, their constituents, there's just no accountability for any of it. So I just really believe that, you know, my fellow villagers deserve a lot better from their board.
And Brittany, can you explain to us, so, you know, everybody's local government is a little different. You know, I live in Village of Elm Grove, and even ours, even though they sound kind of like they'd be similar, mm-hmm. We have a different breakout of our local government. So can you kind of explain what the village president does?
Sure. So the village president is elected onto the board. And then, like I said, it's all at large. So we don't have, like, aldermanic districts within the village. It's all at large seats. So the village president doesn't have a lot more, you know, power or influence than the other at-large seats. You know, they call the meeting to order, that kind of thing. You know, they're expected to be at more of, like, the leadership opportunities, you know, the ribbon cuttings and all of that kind of stuff, but they don't necessarily have more actual power, so to say. I mean, they do, like, they appoint someone to the library board. They're in charge of that appointing process, but they don't necessarily have more sway or anything like that.
Well, mm-hmm. but that power, you know, it does mean something. I mean, as soon as you mentioned the library board, I thought, well, in Menominee Falls, the library board, the village board, the school board have all been involved in headlines that most people in Chippewa Falls, you know, don't read about Menominee Falls. We read about Menominee down the road over here. But, you know, things there, because you said a lot of folks from the political right have been in these positions that you're now in a community that, you know, is getting attention for, you know, wanting to ban books and things like that. So it's a small wonder that we hear about you, the village, and we hear about you, the person running for office.
Yeah, it's we got a PR problem, don't we? and I think that's something we need to fix too, because this is a wonderful place. And I don't think that, you know, from my experience meeting so many people, whether it's at my business or at these campaign events we're doing now, the people, it's not reflective of the values of this community. I think that this has just been something that's kind of been shifting for a while, and this WISP Red group has been able to kind of take advantage of like low voter turnout, low engagement, and kind of pick away at these seats over time, which is a shame, but there's time to fix it, right? Like we can right the ship a little bit. And I think having even just one voice in the room is really important to restoring some order and balance.
Yeah. And when we talked about, we were at your campaign event and there was like Democrats, Republicans, all types of people in there. And you talked about how, you know, this is supposed to be like a nonpartisan office you're running for. And you're supposed to be able to represent all people in the village and all people that live there and get them what they need. And just like you said, shake up the board a little bit, because all levels of government need that transparency. They need that those checks and balances and things like that. And I think these are the types of elections that don't always get paid attention to as often as they should. Just like you said, they've kind of been like relying on low voter turnout. So I think, you know, what we're trying to do here at Motherhood for Good too is to get people involved in these local elections. And I think, you know, by having somebody young and fresh who's so involved in the, not only in the community, but in the business community there too, is really going to be seen as a benefit by a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. And you're there to represent everybody, right? No matter what your political views are.
And that's what I've heard when I've like gone out to meet people. You know, I have people from all sides, because I think no side has all the answers. Right. And any team, any side that says we're always right and that group is always wrong. And so we have to be against everything that that group says, just because they're always wrong and we're always right. That's not good leadership. And that's not like sustainable leadership, and it leads to questionable decisions. So I'm excited to give people, you know, another option that they haven't really had out here in a while.
Yeah, it sounds like this board needs a mom to help them make better choices. Maybe.
Right, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And what kind of feedback have you been getting from constituents as you've been meeting people? What do they want to see from their board happening right now?
It's been really, really good. So I've had the opportunity to meet with people from all sides, which Kate kind of mentioned. We've had these like home listening parties where I go into someone's house, they invite all their neighbors over, and the neighbors are from all walks of life, right? I mean, Menominee Falls has historically been very conservative. We're much more purple now, but it is a pretty, you know, large conservative base. But what I'm hearing from most even conservatives is that this is too far to the right. Mm-hmm. This red initiative stuff is too far. It's out of control. And it's just, like I've said, it's just, there's no accountability and there's no transparency. And that leads to irresponsible decision-making that people are pretty upset about. So they're just looking for more balanced leadership all around.
It is. And it's something that is not new to Wisconsin. I mean, even when I first ran for legislature in 2006, again, in a mostly Republican district, most of my friends and neighbors were Republicans, but said, yeah, we don't want, you know, somebody from the far right, just like, you know, you wouldn't want somebody from the far, far left. You want where a lot of us are. We want to be able to talk to each other. We're going to disagree on things, but we can disagree politely. Now, obviously, sometimes, you know, waves come along like the Tea Party in 2010 and other extremism comes about. And I feel like all that does, Brittany, is exactly what you said. It reminds our neighbors that, you know, there's so many more of us that are like center right, center left, rather than, you know, the kinds of extremes that you're currently seeing in, you know, far too many local governments in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the answers are usually more in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then most people are more in the middle. So it's unfortunate that it's become so extreme.
So is it a tonal thing, you know, that is prompting you to run more so than, say, any specific policy? Are you running on a platform that says, you know, if you vote for me, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z? Or is it more just about, you know, style and the message that this sends about who's in village government?
I think, yeah, it's more about the message. Specific, you know, especially because when I get elected, it'll be, you know, still a 6-1 majority. So I think the message is really, you know, let's send a message to the board and say, you know, you might have thought for all this time that you were really safe and you could push this far right agenda, but you're going to get pushback because decisions like threatening the library budget, or, you know, there's this coffee shop thing at our library. It's a lot of it's focused on the library. You know, when you make decisions like that, you know, you're going to get pushback, and we expect you to work for us and to do what's best for the village and not be just kind of kowtowing to this, this agenda that's kind of sent down from WISRED.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sends a message that people are paying attention. Maybe you didn't think that they were, because a lot of people don't totally understand what their local boards do, or, you know, there's a lot of people who don't even know that there's an election coming up. But when someone like you comes in to shake up the race a little bit, no matter what, it's going to hopefully show them that even if they're right now the most vocal majority, they are not the only people in the community, and they might need to start thinking about what all their constituents want.
Exactly.
And how are you feeling about when you're going around talking to people, are like just election engagement as a whole? Are people aware of this election going on? Do they know that it's coming up in a few weeks? Are they like, is it news to them when you're talking to them?
For a lot of people, it seems like it's news to them. I do think that it got a little bit more attention than normal because it, you know, there is the Republican primary, which is over, right? So, and you kind of wonder what that's going to do for turnout on the right. So I feel like that's kind of almost to our advantage, I think, because they're now going to be a little bit more disengaged. And hopefully it's going to be just about making sure everybody else, the middle and the knows that, you know, they still need to come out and vote. There's still an election, and there's two important ballot measures as well that we're voting on April 2nd. So
do you have school board as well?
We do have school board. We have two open school board seats, and our school board was kind of taken over also by spread backed candidates. So those are really important also.
Right. Plus 91 school referendums all around the state. So there's so much more reason than ever to be voting in these spring elections. Learn more about your registration status and where to vote at myvote.wi.gov. Brittany Wolfile, thank you very much for being part of today's show and telling us more about what prompted you to run for such an important position in your community. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
And your baked goods are delicious.
Thank you.
Danielle, thank you. Kate, thank you so much. You guys have a great start to the week.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. We'll wrap things up here with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know right after this. You're listening to Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wrap up our Monday visit here with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell, who has three things you need to know to get the week started. Terry, how are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
Oh, don't lie to me. You're as tired as the rest of us.
Yeah, I could have used an extra day this weekend. I won't lie.
Padgley,
after I just lied.
Don't lie.
Well, I've noticed everybody has a word that they stumble over. My voice still isn't back to 100%. So this is, make a note, Greg, this is not the show we're sending in to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association for the awards. Check that one off, along with every other show so far this year. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get to it. Terry has three things you need to know, and we're going to start with a sleepover. Because not only is President Biden coming to Wisconsin, but he's going to be spending the night. He's going to span it over a couple days here. So apparently, I don't know if you know this or not, Wisconsin's going to be a big deal.
I heard something about that. I think you're right. Yeah, no, yeah. He's going to be doing a lot of touring this week in particular, and this month in general. He's doing a big sweep through all of the swing states in this November election, and also he's putting $30 million into an ad buy over the next 6 weeks. So the presidential campaign is underway. Biden and Donald Trump, both of their, you know, as much as you could call them closest competitors, have dropped out. So even though the nominations are not technically wrapped up, the primary season is over.
Oh yeah, I mean we are where we always knew we were going to be, but now with the State of the Union behind us, I don't have the Biden ad here, but he did basically tackle the age issue and turn it into a net positive to say, again, you know, I've got experience to have seen things that, you know, that we don't want to go back to in the world. And so he's got these trips to swing states with Wisconsin on Wednesday. Then I believe he's spending the night in Milwaukee and then heading to Michigan after that. Of course, people already speculating, you know, where Biden will be, but that's probably a given. I mean, every president who comes to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, has stayed at the Pfister for so long. I mean, it's just got the infrastructure to be able to host a presidential visit. So probably no big surprise.
I was going to say, I mean, ghosts.
Wouldn't it be, and of course, all the tales about the ghosts. I was just saying, wouldn't it be great if instead he showed up like in Menominee Falls at somebody's bed and breakfast or VRBO? And it's just like, look at this kitchen. I'm making flapjacks over here. Come on in. But
maybe someday if they can, you know, pass a security sweep.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Madison, we've got the legislature now fully wrapping up. We mentioned a couple of weeks back that the assembly said, you know, we're done, peace out. And now the Senate's about to do the same thing.
Yeah, this should be the last floor session of this session. So we'll see about that. Things change, but there will be a last minute push to pass some things through, maybe even some things the governor might sign. They also might just take up some new Senate bills, even though they would not pass the assembly in time. So they can take those issues out to the campaign trail, say, you know, we voted for them, we fought for them. The things that do seem likely to be coming up on Wednesday are a ban on loyalty pledges, so-called, at University of Wisconsin system pledges to uphold diversity, equity, and inclusion, easing immunization requirements of colleges and universities. Also, there's a constitutional amendment making its way through the legislature that would restrict the governor's partial veto powers in the future. It was that 400-year increase in spending on schools that was the last straw for the Republican who control the legislature. And probably the most certain and popular bills, I think, that are most likely to pass, bills to crack down on human trafficking and also new protections for judges and justices.
Pat, you're muted.
Put those as Pat, the you're most likely.
Oh. And let's again note something else that's coming out. One of the most nakedly political things that the Senate's going to do probably tomorrow, based on a committee vote last week, is they're going to reject, in other words, fire two more members of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, both Dana Walks, who is a former state assembly rep, and John Miller, both of whom, you know, have given no indication that they would do anything other than be, you know, good leaders and have been demonstrated good leaders. But because they didn't, you know, because they upset some Republican members when it came to that DEI blackmail attempt last year, they're about to fire two more Evers appointees, something that, again, is unprecedented in modern times, Terry.
It is quite unusual in the effect, the number of them that have been rejected. And, you know, it's quite a change from, you know, in a session that's been marked by, you know, some gains for bipartisanship, but not so when it comes to these Senate confirmations and then these firings. It's been a very unusual session for that.
Yeah, I mean, some will say unusual, and I will use the phrase a blatant abuse of power, but that's, you know, again, that's just me. And then third thing on the list of things to know for this week is that Congressman Mike Gallagher's TikTok bill is going to be getting some more traction, in part because of actions taken last week by TikTok to try to basically ask its members to speak out against the bill. So it's going to be kind of a TikTok week in D.C.
Congressman Gallagher was not happy about that. And so the House will vote this week on whether to. Now, you might ask, how can a government tell a company that's owned in another country that they have to sell? Well, they can take TikTok off of the App Store platforms that we have on all our devices, which would be effectively shutting it down in the United States. So they're giving them an ultimatum that they have to sell or just not have any, lose all their U.S. customers, 170 million.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, because again, it's not like banning TikTok, but it would be very difficult to get it, shall we say, in that this is less about the app itself and more about who owns it, and it's tied directly to the Chinese government. And it's like, well, if you sell the company, and that's not unprecedented, then that allays a concern. But so TikTok put this, ring the bell, Grandpa. So TikTok put out this thing about, you know, call your congressman. And there was some concern about, you know, how well do they know, you know, where their users are located? Could this kind of location service, you know, come back and be, you know, detrimental if that info went to the Chinese government? Or is it being overblown? Those are concerns that we're going to hear this week that Terry and Skrew are going to be covering. Terry Bell with 3 Things You Need to Know to Get the Week Started. Terry, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
And it's, again, it's National Nap Day. Greg, we're already well on our way as we start to nod off ever so slowly here to wrap up the show. Thanks to both of you. We appreciate you joining us here. And a reminder that Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Thanks for joining us up here on the lake on this Monday, and have a wonderful nap-filled day. See you back here Tuesday.